Well, one thing that is a good, I don't know, what would you call it, an objective or a motto, would say, talk the way you want to be and or you'd like to be, and you will be the way that you talk. So in other words, don't talk about the things that are. Don't talk the way things are. Talk the way you'd like them to be. That may sound, some people say, well, that's nice to say, but we have the Word of God to help us. And sometimes we become snared with our words, or entrapped or taken by our words. And in Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 2, in the King James, it says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." So you can be snared or entrapped or imprisoned, or sometimes you could use the word, sometimes people are in bondage to their own words. The Amplified Classic of that particular verse, it says, "You are snared with the words of your lips. You are caught by the speech of your mouth." So you can be entrapped. People can be in fear, or they can be in anger by initiating words. The Bible, in basic English, the BBE of Proverbs 6:2, it says, "You are taken as in a net by the words of your mouth. The sayings of your lips have overcome you." So this is why when we say talk the way you'd like to be, and you will be the way you talk. Now that can be positive or negative. You can say things that will defeat you in life, or you can say things that will cause you to overcome in life. And so you can be entrapped, or you can be set free with the words of your mouth. So our words dominate us. This is really what we're saying. Our words can either put us over, or our words can defeat us and hold us in bondage. So faith-filled words will do what? Put us over in life. Put us over in this earth, in this world. And fear-filled words will defeat us. So we need to watch how we speak. One of the things that we keep going over, and it's good to remind ourselves, because the world constantly is reminding us of who they think we are. But they can't see the real me, you see. They see the outward person, and they think and have opinions about what they see. The world will have all kinds of opinions about who they think you are and what you can do based on the outward appearance. But the inward man is the real man. And when we look at Genesis chapter 1, and we look at verse 26 and 27, what does it say? "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have" what? Then he said, "and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl in the air and the cattle and over the" what else? "Over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." And then what does it say? Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." So we are made in the image and likeness of God. And what is John 4:24? Very familiar scripture. It said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So if we are made in the image and likeness of God, that makes me, the real me is what? A spirit. And so I have a soul and I live in a body, but this inner man, the real me, is a spirit. And we were sharing this on Sunday, that when I became a brand new person in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Any man that is in Christ, he is a new person, a new creature, it says. You know, some it says a new person, new species of being, someone that hasn't existed before. It said, old things are passed away, all things have become new. So this means that what? That old man, that spirit that was separated from God, that was dead in its sins, became brand new. The minute I released my faith, this is Romans 10, 9 and 10, any man that does what? Confesses Christ and believes in their heart, Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess. What? This is what we're talking about, calling those things that be not as though they were. Believing something in the Word of God, that if you'll confess with your mouth, what? The Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, what? Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth. Saying something. Confession is made unto salvation. So faith-filled words released out of what? Out of our mouth defeats Satan every single time. You couldn't stop him from creating a new creature, a brand new person, a brand new man. You couldn't stop that. So it defeated Satan and did what? It created the reality of God's word. Where? In my spirit. I became brand new. I was redeemed at that point, saved. Hallelujah. And so we become a new creature in Christ, and we're what? Delivered from who? The power of darkness. And we're what? Translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So if I believe something in my heart and I doubt not, then what? We shall have whatsoever we say. And so that principle, when we go back and we look at Hebrews 11:3, and it talks about faith and faith-filled words, and us being made in the image and likeness of God, Hebrews 11:3, it says what? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hallelujah. And John 1:1, talking about things, the world's being framed by the word of God, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then it goes on, the same was in the beginning with God. And then again, the same thing we just got done almost reading in Hebrews 11:3. All things were made by him, the word, and without him was not anything made that was made. So it was the word that was with God, and the word was what? Was God. So man, this is really the point we're making, man was made, we're made in the image and likeness of God. So we're made in God's class. We're a spirit. And man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in a body. But just think about Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. So we saw in chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. But look what chapter 2 and verse 7 says. It says, and the Lord God formed man of what? Of the dust of the ground. And he did what? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the life that was breathed into man was the very life of God. It was spirit life. So we are a spirit capable of operating on the same level, in the we're the same class. We're spirit. We have a spirit. And so we're able to operate on the same level of faith as God. And somebody might say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let's look at some accounts in the scripture that bears out that truth. When we look at in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, and then we'll look at also Matthew 17, it's the same account of the man who brought his son, who said he had a dumb spirit, but he brought him to the disciples so that they could cast the devil out of him. And so he ended up going to Jesus and saying, look, can you help me? He said, I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't help. And Jesus got a little upset, right? He got upset and said, you know, how long shall I be with you? You know, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. But in verse 23, what did Jesus say? Now we remember, Jesus set aside his divine privileges. He's operating as a sinless man here in the earth. He said what? In verse 23, Jesus said unto him who? This is the Father that brought his son. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then when we look at that same account in Matthew chapter 17, and we look at Matthew 17 and verse 20, let me just get over there. Matthew 17 and verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. And now he's talking, this is the same account, this is written by Matthew, of the man bringing his son, and it's described a little differently, but he said, here, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And Jesus said the same. He said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now look what, and then Jesus' disciples come to him, and they say, you know, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, his disciples, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall do what? You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Hallelujah. So we see in the scripture that Jesus is beginning to show us that faith must be spoken. He said what? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. So we know from chapter 10 of Matthew at the beginning, Jesus gave his disciples power, and that's what it said. It said when he called unto him his 12 disciples. This is why he was so upset at them. He gave them power. It's what it says. He gave his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits. This is in chapter 10 of verse 1, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So over here in chapter 17, they're saying, well, how come we couldn't do this? Well, they were given the power to over all wicked spirits. And so now they're asking, how come? Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this mountain. So we see here that God has given us the ability, the power, and Jesus in Mark 11:23, he said something similar, didn't he? He said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what? Be thou removed, something spoken, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So it's not just the saying that's going to cause it to come to pass. Just saying is not going to cause something to come to pass. It's believing that the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you saith. So when we talk about having the same level of faith of God, or the same kind of faith, what does this say here in Mark 11:22 of the King James Version? If we just back up one verse, it says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, most people say, well, I have faith in God. But if you read the Bible in basic English, it says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have God's faith. Well, that's a little different. And if you read it also in the Passion Translation, it says, Jesus replied, let the faith of God be in you. So when we talk about the faith, we're talking about something spiritual, and we're talking about spiritual, something spiritual. What is it? The Word of God. When it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, and that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the Word of God is the power of God. And when I get the Word of God in me and it's spoken in faith, it's creative. And this is really the what we're trying to say tonight and share tonight, is that our words are creative, especially when we're spoken in faith. So this is what we're sharing. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, we are to do what? Paul wrote this by revelation to the church at Ephesus. He said, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And if you look, some have it on their in their margin, it says, be imitators of God. The New Living Translation of this particular verse, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. So we're to imitate him in everything that we do. The Amplified Classic Translation, it says, therefore, be imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. Now, you know, just in the natural, if you have children, or you might be a grandparent and you have grandchildren, they'll do what? That's why when people say, watch what you're saying, watch how you act around little children, because they will do what? They will begin to imitate you. And that's good or bad. You know, you hear little kids, you know, you see it on social media clips, you'll see the little child that'll just run their mouth off with profanities. And you go, how could a little child learn that? Well, it must be going on at home. So when you do that, we want to make sure that we do what? Imitate our Father God. And so we have His Word, and when His Word gets down inside of us, it will help us to renew our minds, where we can do what? Speak in faith to overcome obstacles and overcome fleshly desires. And so we can do what? Become a reflection. We can begin to imitate our Father God. And so when we talk about imitating God, what does that mean? It means we need to talk like Him and act like Him. And that's what Jesus did, isn't it? Jesus operated in the God kind of faith. He was imitating His Father, and what happened? He got the same results. So now let's take a look at John. This is Jesus speaking here in the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. And let's take a look at verse 12. Chapter 14 and verse 12. And Jesus speaking said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and what? Greater works than these shall he do, because why? I go unto my Father." So we see here that we are to speak the word of God, not the problem. Faith is what? Voice activated. This is what we just got done seeing. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed." So our faith is what? Something that's not seen. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's expected, or the evidence of things what? Not seen. So when we talk about words, we're talking about something that works like a seed. Words get planted in our hearts, and if we keep watering them with the same type of thing, whether that's good or bad, it keeps watering and it'll produce a harvest. And so 1 Peter, well, we looked at that. What we're sharing this evening is that since we are made in the image and likeness of God, then our spoken words are as seeds and are creative and have power to produce. They will produce when what? Spoken in faith. So our words are like containers. And the words are what? These are things that come from our heart. And so our hearts, because they've become brand new, the soil has changed. So there's good ground, there's good soil, and the seeds of those words will produce. So the things that we need to watch is this law. Faith-filled words will defeat or overcome obstacles that we confront in life. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 4. In the King James, it says, "And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And the Bible in basic English, it says, "Anything which comes from God," well, what comes from God? The Word, He is the Word, "is able to overcome the world. And the power by which we have overcome the world is our faith." In the Passion Translation, it says, "You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So what do we keep going back over? That we've been born of God, we have a brand new spirit, a brand new heart. And when we take the word of God and we continue to put it in our hearts, and we continue to speak in faith words, and we believe that those words will come to pass, they will produce. Your words have the power to produce because we are made in the image and likeness of God. I can't keep saying that enough, that sometimes we want something to happen quickly. We want it yesterday. That's just the way this flesh and this soul operates. But that is not going to override the principles of the Word of God. The Word of God says, if I speak something in faith and I believe it, it's going to produce. It's going to come to pass. And what we don't think about enough is that your words will produce. They're creative. You keep stressing this. You're made in the image and likeness of God. You are made in a God class. He gave us the right. He gave us the power to choose and to create. How do we create things? With our words. So God gave us the right to choose. To choose Him or to choose to walk in darkness. And so we have the power to choose. He gave us the right to choose. And how do we choose life or death? By what we say. And this is the point where Proverbs 18 and verse 20 and 21, it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. That means my tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we have the God-given right to choose our own destiny, to choose who we will serve. We're made in His image and likeness. But the wonderful thing is that we can choose to serve Him, and then He has given us the power to overcome life's circumstances. So when you look at what Adam did, when Adam was really, when you think about it, he was made in the image and likeness of God. He had no sin. And so what happened? He messed up. He decided to believe the lie and didn't say anything. And so he messed up. And so what happened? That sin passed down to all mankind. But one of the things it talks about when we, let me just look this particular scripture up in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this scripture just came to my thinking when we talk about Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. And it's talking about the resurrection, talking about celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies and so forth. But then it gets down in verse 45, and it says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam, this is referring to Jesus now, was made what? A quickening spirit. And so, what is it, verse 47? It says, the first man is of the earth, earthy, The second man is who? The Lord from heaven. And then and so my point in saying that, not to get sidetracked here, but the point in saying this is that the second man, Adam, redeemed us from the curse of the law. And his very life was breathed into our spirits and made us brand new creatures in Christ. And so Galatians 3:20, I believe, or 2:20, it said, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So this new man has a new man in him, and it's Christ is living in me now. And so I can now operate in a different way, in a different class. I don't have to be subject to the things that are going on around me or what I'm confronted with in life. It may look impossible, but what did Jesus say? All things are possible to him that believes. And so when we believe God, when we trust in God, he said, have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. So when we do that, we can be assured from the scripture that he that is born of God, whosoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What faith is that? The faith of God. So we need to keep stirring ourselves up, because the devil and people that serve him knowingly and unknowingly will continue to confront us in life, confront us with things in life that will try to tell your soul and your flesh that you can't do it. It's not possible. But God said all things are possible to him that believe. And so we need to remind ourselves that when we're confronted with something, we need to have faith in God, the faith of God, and we need to do what? Release that faith in what? Word spoken. And not decree or say that this is not possible. You need to stand right up and say, no, this is possible, and we are going to do this, and we are going to achieve this, and we are going to have this, because I believe in God, and I believe it is God working in my midst, overcoming this obstacle. Because if we don't believe that, then we have to throw out redemption, we have to throw out the blood of Jesus, because what does it say in Revelation? It says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's Revelations 12, I believe 11. So we need to just lock on, as they say, like a bulldog, and not let go, not let life or circumstances or people tell you you can't, because God said you can. And we need to hold on to this word and hold on to the truth of God's word and the reality of it working in our lives. Glory to God. And so really what we've been trying to express best way we can is watch your words. Don't let your words work against you, but let your words work for you, and let them be creative to bring to pass, as we started at the beginning of this, bring to pass the things that you desire. Bring to pass the way you'd like to be, the things you want to have. Let your words be creative in that sense. You know, it's interesting. When you look at people, it doesn't mean that people who are successful in life, whether they're Christian or not, it doesn't mean they didn't go through problems, but they didn't give up. And it didn't mean that they may not have been discouraged, but they pursued, they held on to a dream. They held on to something that was what? In their heart. You know, when you know, I like sometimes when Pastor Greg talks about his experience with basketball. You know, I played a little sports. I didn't play at the same level that he did, but the principles are still the same. That if you keep working the principles of something, that those fundamentals will get you through. And so what are we talking about? The fundamentals of faith. Let that word work in our hearts, water it, and keep speaking it, and you'll overcome. Didn't mean it's comfortable sometimes. Didn't mean that you don't get discouraged or want to throw the towel in and give up. But you determine, I'm pressing through. I'm going to get this. You know, I was watching a clip of a well-known basketball player, and he shared something, and you know, I thought it was interesting. He said at a young age, he made a decision. Now, the way he used it, he said, I loved the game. I loved it. And as a young child, he said, I watched all these different basketball players. And he said, I wonder if I could be that or do that. And he said, I made a decision. I'm going to do that. And he pursued it for his life. And he did. And of course, people know about it. He pursued it with such discipline that he achieved it. And so I think the same way, sometimes we give in, we give up when we're almost there. Because what? The devil will work at what? He has no power. Remember Colossians 1, verse 15. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So the devil has no power over you. He cannot stop the blessings of God. He cannot stop God's blessings. He couldn't stop you being saved. He can't stop blessings coming into your life. He cannot stop it. But what he can do is he can work at deceiving you to think that, well, maybe God didn't want me to have this. Maybe God doesn't want me to achieve this. Just maybe God, maybe my past, maybe something, you know, the way I lived or the way I acted, you know, maybe God's not, maybe he's holding this against me. Well, if you think that, just ask God to forgive you. What does he say? He said, he says, if you confess your sin, he's what? He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if you even have that thought, just ask him for forgiveness, and it said he will. And then open your hearts and stop repeating the lies that come into your mind. You know, I was sharing something with somebody Sunday after service, and you could tell they were, you know, pondering some things in their life, and they were, you know, they had a sense where it appeared their thinking was defeated. And their thinking was such that, well, I went through this and I went through this and so forth. And I said, you know what? You've got to keep, I said, first of all, where do these thoughts come from? God is all about what? He's about helping us, healing us, promoting us, advancing us. And I said, any thoughts that come to your mind that are, you know, you can't have this, you won't do this, you know, and or you did this and you did this, God doesn't do that. So that ought to help you pinpoint where the thoughts are coming from. And you need to just stand up and laugh and say, you know what? This is the victory that overcomes this, even my faith. And speak words that are full of life and faith and creative. And don't buy into lies that the devil tries to, you know, constantly drag you down in life. Keep your mind clear of that. The one way to defeat it, and we'll close with this, just this one scripture as we're sharing this. If you go over to, if you have your Bible and look at Philippians chapter 3, and wrong chapter. Sorry. Well, I don't want to. It says to think. It says think on those things that are pure and lovely and of a good report. So my point in making that, I don't want to. Not seeing it right at the moment. But we need to think on those things that are lovely and pure and of a good report, and not think on those things that drag us down. It's in chapter 4 and verse 8. Chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." So if you have to stand up against this constantly, do it until it stops, because the devil is defeated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is life to us. We thank you for overcoming through your word. And we thank you for those watching that the seed of this word is being planted, watered, and we thank you that it's producing an abundant return in their lives. And we thank you, Father, for revelation being sparked in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're watching and these things have stirred your heart, and maybe you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, maybe you're not a follower of Christ, or maybe you are someone that just happened to tune in or see this, we always extend an opportunity to those who are viewing or those who are in our presence to come to know the Lord Jesus. And as we were sharing in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, this is here, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So if you do that, if we make this simple prayer, and we're going to just say this simple prayer, but you don't ever recall making a profession in your heart and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing that he was raised from the dead, saying it, and you may have believed it, but you never said it, in faith. See, this is the theme of what we're sharing tonight. It's not just believing something, but it's believing the things that you say. And so that's what releases the power of God to cause your spirit to be changed. So if that's you, let's say this simple prayer. Father, I believe with my heart, and I say with my mouth that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. And I believe and confess with my mouth that you raised him from the dead. And so I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I believe that you've changed me. Instantly, my heart has been changed. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. I thank you for making something new of me. I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that simple prayer, just let us know. You can contact us by email. There's information there. You can write us by mail or call us, and we will send something out to you, some free material as to who you have become in Christ. Praise God.